Hello, and welcome to the ISA Audio Library. This is program number 407 in the series. The title is Personal Power. This conversation with Ole was recorded at Studio One in Chicago. Ole asked me to be sure to tell everyone listening that working on ourselves can be rewarding and fun. So please have a good time of it while you listen. To receive this information as easily as possible, it is suggested that you listen in a quiet, undisturbed place, such as your home or your car. You can, of course, play the programs often and whenever needed. Ole, the subject of this tape is personal power. When I thought about personal power and trying to define it, I found myself very confused. And then I said to myself, well, if I can't define it, how would I know when I have it and when I don't? Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, we know that we are not, right? I mean, you feel sometimes powerful and sometimes you don't feel powerful.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And I think that most of the times the feelings that you have in regards to power, not power, have nothing to do with power. And I think also that there's a contradiction. I think that this about personal, it isn't personal. And we think about power in terms of how it affects things. It's usually power over somebody. I think that what happens when people think that they have power is that they are capable of manipulating. Power isn't to be very dynamic or energetic. Having charisma, that's not power. There's another sense in which we talk about power, and that has to do with alignment. It has to do with an absence of that personal ego stuff. When I'm not there, so to speak, the power can pass through. If we live our lives with integrity, that we don't have something that we have to hold on to, so we become like an empty space, we can manifest like power through us. But it's not power over anybody. That power that we talk about that is influencing others is not power in the sense that we want to talk about power. Power has to do with being focused. It's like pulling energy together in a laser beam. So that it's like there is we operate like a singular point of view. And that makes us very powerful. To me, that allows me to expand my experience of what's going on. That is, I see much more because my vision is not hindered by baggage. And then I have power. And obviously, if I see a lot, I am able to do a lot. And that's what power is. Power is, to me, is the ability to allow the creative force to stream through. And when it happens, it is like I disappear. So there isn't that ego sense of I. When there isn't that ego sense of I, that ego sense that wants me to manipulate, to get power over, is absent. And then the true power runs through me. But it's not like I am powerful, because the I is not there. And it is a sense of ecstasy to be in a powerful state, to be rid of the burden of having to be, which is an ego state. To not be in the state of the ego is an exhilarating, light state of living life. And we can get there by living without accumulating baggage. See, whenever it is about power over you, I'm immediately accumulating baggage. I'm attempting to make something happen to my advantage. Now, the moment that I have something happening to my advantage, I have suddenly put myself in the picture too. It is when I'm not in the picture that I have power. And you always operate as if you're in the picture. You are interested in power. And I suspect if you look at the topic and you thought about it, the interest that people have is personal. it is for them to have power in order to do something. Well, if I put myself in the picture, I want power, I'm going to be powerless. It is only when I don't want the power, like it is not the I that is there to have the power to exude some force over somebody. It is when the I is not there that true power can manifest. It's not like something that I want, really. It comes out of living our lives rightly. That little by little, as we let go of the baggage that we have, our attachment, then power manifests through us. But it never really is personal, because it isn't me that's powerful like. It isn't owned in that way. It isn't applauded as if it is me, my personality, or my particular makeup, my smarts, or my intelligence, or my education, or my money, or my... It's not that. That's the way that we look at power most of the time, ordinarily. This is not what I mean by power. Power is that undiluted energy that comes through where there isn't any ego or any me. There isn't any manipulative sense of accomplishing something for somebody. It is a giving away of an energy. And I have met very few powerful people in my life, and there have always been people who have worked extensively on themselves. Or there have been people with a lot of force and a lot of energy. I don't consider that power. If we take an example like Gandhi, Gandhi was up against people with a lot of force, and he would just be very meek. And he would refuse to meet that force with its opponent. He would refuse, and that force dissipates. Personal power doesn't have to do with force in that sense. Yes, Tom.
What is it then, Oli, that... Where does this energy come from that passes through when we experience being that empty feeling? And is this the kind of emptiness that you are talking about that we think of when we utilize the expression channeling something? It's like not being there, just being empty to allow something to move through. Is that the same expression that you're referring to?
It could be looked at in that way. It could be. I don't know what that force is. I have no idea. And one way of looking at it would be that the force is there all the time, waiting for an open channel through which to create. That the force is there all the time. That we are like swimming in the force, and we are so clogged up with our own desires, our own wants, our own needs, our own lies and distortions, that force has no vessel through which to manifest its creation. There's no way. And so it's like Jesus said that you and I have within us the power to move a mountain. Well, I think he was talking literally about our ability to be so open that the enormity of the force is there, the enormity of it is certainly enough to move mountains if we can get out of the way. But it's like the force needs this expressiveness on the physical plane to direct the creative energy. So it could be looked at in that way. I have no idea, though. I know that people talk, well, it is God and it's the spirits. And I know that people are making these things up. I know that they are. They don't know. But it sounds good. It's palatable. How about just not knowing? And begin to experiment with living your life in such a way that you can get out of the way. Right? If you notice your life is so much of manipulating in order to survive, and survive might be to look good, survive might be to merely get enough to eat. But for most of the people who listen to this, it's not at the level of getting something to eat. It is more about satisfying the ego. Well, as long as we have those things going on with us, there's no opportunity. We don't create the openness that is necessary. The absence of this presence of ego. We don't create that so that the power has no way to go. To me, there's only one truth. There's only the truth. There's a way of living in alignment with the force, with nature. There's a way of living. And the purpose that the purpose I have in giving information is to see if there's somewhere that you can be touched. I've told you once, right? This is what you need to do. Begin to work. Well, the mind comes in and says, yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea. I'll do it for a while. A while is usually about 15 seconds and maybe a week. it's seldom a week. It's usually 15 seconds. And then the mind gets busy with its own habitual patterns. So then I will give you another piece of information. And hopefully you will have enough pieces of information so every time the mind gets into its automatic state, you will, in that state, have another piece of information that will direct you back to the path. Information in itself doesn't do anything. Information is a guidebook for what to do. Now, people spend their lives reading guidebooks. I don't know if you've noticed that that doesn't get you anywhere. You just sit there with your guidebook and look at it and say, oh, well, that sounds like a good route to take. Yeah, it looks scenic and all, but it doesn't get you anywhere. So then you pick up another guidebook because it sounds as if you don't want to have tropical weather, you want to have mountains, so you look in another guidebook. And there you are looking at guidebooks. And every now and then you go to listen to somebody who says, I've got an interesting journey for you to take. And you sit there with the guidebook and listen to the guy. And then you go home, and when you sit in the bathroom, you sit and look in this guidebook and go daydreaming. That is what information is. I remember when I was wanting to be a captain, and I wanted to have a ship, my own ship, that I was going to sail on some spiritual voyage. And I would spend a lot of time in the bathroom reading Yachting Magazine. And I would dream about these boats and fantasize about what it would be like, and it was all very exciting, and I talked to one of the booksellers once where I bought the Yachting Magazine. He said, oh, yeah, well, a lot of people, they buy Yachting Magazines. I've had people here who have bought Yachting Magazines for 20 years. They have never gotten out of the bathroom yet. And sitting on the toilet reading Yachting Magazines, it gets you on all kinds of voyages without having to leave home. So information really doesn't do anything. If you find some information that is useful, it then is necessary to begin to practice. I mean, ultimately, I had to go and buy a boat in order to find out, and it is a lot easier to sit in the bathroom reading Yachting Magazine than to sail a boat, I tell you. A lot of people who build up this fantasy and they decide that they're going to retire, they usually decide that 30 that they're going to retire at 35, so they retire at 65, 30 years later, and then they buy a boat. And they go out once, and then they realize the horror of it. It is not like it looks in Yachting Magazine. You have to work, and you have to sail 24 hours a day, and you get seasick, and you have to clean up, and things break down, and the engine smokes, and, you know, it's not at all like it looks, which I found out. That is the trouble with this work on ourselves, which also has to do with personal power, that we think that it is glorious to have. And maybe it is. Maybe it is glorious to have. I think that it takes a lot of work. All the time. It takes a lot of work. Like sailing the boat, it was 24 hours a day for 2 years. It was the boat sailing me. It wasn't me sailing the boat. Never mind. you get a boat and then it takes over. Well, that's the same with the path, like. It's the path that takes over. And information is about telling you the possibility that exists as you travel this path. Now begin to walk. Well, most people don't want to walk. And information is really about how to walk, whether to turn right or left. A guide is somebody who has done both, gone both right and left, and can say, well, if you go left, it's going to feel easier for a while before you hit the ground. Or if you turn right, well, it's going to be a struggle and you're going to feel good, sort of.
Well, if I'm catching on to what you mean by power or non-personal, egoless power, my experience, the highest experience I had of that was in the GIT, particularly at the end of the GIT. And my question is, how do we keep that going? How do we stay in touch with it? It seems to come and go so easily. What would you recommend?
I think it is practice. It is such a contradiction, because I am practicing on not being there. So I have to use my unconscious state as a means to create a state where I'm not there. Well, that's very difficult to do, because the mind, the machinery, wants to manipulate. It says, all right, well, I'll pretend that I'm not really doing it in order to get power. You know, so you'll go around pretending that you are not doing it to get power. It's like people who assist in ISA. The purpose to assist in ISA is really to assist in ISA, that it doesn't have any payoff. There's no reason to do it. You just do it because you do it. Well, people do it because they think they will get better. They do it because they want to be martyrs. They want to suffer. They do it because they want to make sacrifices. They do it because they want to improve the world. They want to make the world better so that they become a contributor to the betterment of the world. So it takes a long time. And the path that I invite you on has to do with doing simple tasks where there is no audience. So what did you do it to make the world better if it is in terms of washing the dishes? There's nobody looking. There's only you, being with you, doing something for the purpose of doing it well. That you put yourself into your world to make that world your world, a better place. And you do it in simple tasks. You do it in the way that you pour the tea when you're by yourself and there's nobody there to see. You do it kindly and in some state of excellence. So little by little, you overcome that ego state where you have to do it in order to look good. The moment that you are there, as you correctly noticed, the moment that you are there and say, oh, gee whiz, I'm being real powerful now, then it's gone. Then it's gone, because then you block the ability for the power to pass through. Like we were talking about a little earlier, that the most powerful state to be in is to be relaxed. Now, what we think about when we think about power, we think about being all tensed up and ready, like a spring, ready to burst forth. Well, when we are in that state as a spring ready to burst forth, everything is tensed up. That is, everything is clogged with our own sense of importance. It has to do with letting go, getting rid of the need to appear powerful, the need to throw your weight around, which all has to do with ego. Whenever power has something to do with power over somebody, it's your ego, and it has no value. Yeah.
Well, only when you talk about the sense of relaxation, it almost seems like a contradiction in, or at least it does for me when I'm working on remembering myself. It's like just the opposite occurs to me. In remembering myself, I get tense. So there's a part of me that stops myself. I feel almost the opposite of relaxation. So then it would seem to me that working on myself to remember myself is not really moving in the direction of, at least my experience of it, is not moving in the direction of me working on accumulating personal power or emptying myself, becoming a channel. Is that just seeming?
That's true. It seems that way, and it will seem that way for a long time. It's very difficult to unlearn the habits that we have learned over time that has not afforded us the opportunity to be a channel for power. It takes time to unlearn. I had one lesson in golf. And I understood I had to twist my body into a position that was totally unnatural to me. And then the professional golf instructor had the audacity to tell me, here, I was twisting my body, and then he said, relax. I said, you're kidding. Relax. I mean, I was like a wire. There was no way I could relax. And then subsequently I saw Palmer. And there he gets into this awkward position, being totally relaxed, and he swings the golf, what is it called?
Club.
He swings the golf club with complete ease. Well, I didn't learn it in the first lesson. Maybe one of these days I will do it again. It is the same with working on oneself. Working on oneself is very easy. All it is that you remember that you're there. And you can train your mind. You can have a conversation while you count from 1 to 100 and then count from 100 backwards to 1 while you're having a conversation. I mean, you do that anyhow, don't you? I sit and talk with you and you talk to yourself. Now, instead of talking to yourself, you could be counting. You will listen anyhow, right? Your ears will vibrate and they will hit your nerves and it will sort of resonate in your head and words will appear. Well, that's a way of developing skills. And all of these skills facilitate you in getting out of the state of ego. The ego state is a mechanical state where you just defend the point of view. The ego state has no value. It's a mechanical way of manifesting energy. It has no value. In the ordinary world, yeah, it may allow you to make, $17 an hour and buy McDonald's for dinner. But in and of itself, it has no value. Now, working on yourself allows you to come up against this thing that we call ego, that you do it for no reason. You just do it because you do it, because you do it. And you keep on just doing it because you do it. You will notice if you begin to do some exercise, if I suggest to you, for instance, as you are sitting having a conversation, that you sit and count to yourself from 1 to 100 and then backwards, you will notice that you can, over time, get very good at that. What it allows you to do is to be separate. It's like you can then be separate, and then the power can go through you. My teacher was able to focus on one person and be furious, and then focus on the next person and be real gentle. It was like he never got lost in the passion of any particular situation. He was always detached, and using this in service. Now, you can't use any of your stuff in service because you're so lost in your stuff. So it cannot be used. Or you think that you can use it, right? No, it's not correct. It is because you get lost in your point of view. So personal power has to do with being in a state of relaxation. Now, to arrive at a state of relaxation, we think, well, I can relax. No, you cannot relax. You think that you can relax. And if I ask you to relax, you're going to look like some tense ball of meat. You know, suspended by bones. That's not a state of relaxation. And while you are trying to relax, you're busy talking to yourself, so your mind is in no state of relaxation. It is something that we have to work towards. And the path has to do with a certain quality that we don't accumulate. We don't continue to accumulate little bits and pieces of incompletes in our lives that we then carry around that causes tension. So there isn't that sense of freedom. You cannot relax, like I talked about at the journey. It begins with making your bed in the morning. That has to do with personal power. It begins by making the bed in the morning. How come? Because if I leave the bed in that state of incompleteness, I carry that with me to work. Now, if I then add to that the cup of coffee that is half empty and the ashtray that's half full and the coffee pot that's standing there with the grounds in it and the plate with the cereal sort of stuck to the sides and the orange peels that I left on the counter, and then I'm carrying all of that as well. Plus, I haven't swept the floor in the kitchen for a week. Never mind behind the refrigerator and on top. And all of that stuff is what we hold together that depletes us from having that freedom to relax so that power can manifest through us. Power has something to do with being at ease. Power doesn't have to do with the state of tension. It has to do with the state of being at total ease.
In what you've talked about so far, seems attractive. But still there's the workaday world where the guy's in conflict with his wife, has a lousy job, he's probably overworked, or she, doesn't matter, tired, and saying, gee, you know, all that sounds ideal and wonderful, but how in that everyday world, where I'm really, in a way, fighting for survival, in a practical sense, how does the average guy do anything with it?
I think it begins by doing the dishes really well, to learn to get focused. Most of us have no ability to be focused on anything. Have you noticed that when you sit and read a book? You read the book and it triggers off a thought and the eyes continue to go down the page. You have no idea what it is that you're reading, but you're not aware that you're not reading. You flip the next page, and you keep on with your eyes, but nothing is going on. And then you suddenly realize that you have no idea when you get back, get out of the dream, and back into the page, and you read, and she said, well, who is she? And then you go back 3 or 4 pages and realize that you weren't there. I know that the person who has just had an argument with his spouse or her spouse will often find themselves struggling to find what it is that they're arguing about so that they can say the right thing next. We are not focused. Now, the reason we are not focused is not because our job is lousy. The reason is not because our relationship is no good or because we live in the wrong neighborhood or because we have bills that are not paid. That's not why we don't feel at peace. We don't feel at peace because we are not focused. We don't know what that means. So we have to begin simply. A child is usually focused. They are totally absorbed. Their attention span is not very long. It's half the length of an adult, so that makes it about 30 seconds. They are focused, and that's all there is. There's no past or future. There's just the event. Now, I would recommend, if you want to learn how to be focused, begin to experiment with real simple things, like cleaning the dishes. I mentioned the dishes, making the bed, cleaning the refrigerator. So that you put some of your focus into one little fragment of your life. And do it for a week. And see whether or not the quality of your life is shifted a little. It will. Then expand it to setting the table. Then expand it to maybe spending 1 hour at your job or half an hour at your job. Just really just doing your job. No matter what your job is, just really doing your job. Don't worry about the mortgage payments and the interest rates and the war in the Middle East and all the multitude of events that occupy your mind. Don't worry about it just for half an hour. Just see if you can just stamp out those, whatever it is that you're stamping out, plastic bottles or whatever your job is. If you can just do it really well. Just for half an hour. And then you can go back to your sloppy old ways and do it the way that you always do it, where you're thinking about everything and you're bitching about it, you're angry about it, you think it's unfair, you're not getting paid enough, and the union dues are too much, and they are stealing your money, and they're crooks, and what have you. All these conversations. But just for half an hour, do it for purposes of doing it really well. And then see whether or not the state that you experience yourself in, the way, the sense of well-being, if that is enhanced by that. Well, if it is, maybe that would be a motivator for you to do it for 3/4 of an hour. Now, little by little, those arguments or the stress that you experience in life will dissipate. The truth about life is that there are 24 hours a day. And if I am focused on what I am doing when I'm doing it, there's no stress. I'm just doing the best that I can about what it is that is right in front of me. And I'm giving it the best that I have. The person who does that will feel at peace. It is that we don't do it. When we read a book, we don't read the book. We read the book, we think about the mortgage, we think about the argument that we had, we think about we are upset, we think how unfair life is, we think about how our future is so bleak, and we are not doing anything. And then we stop reading, and then we feel bad because we didn't get anything out of the reading. We didn't certainly get anything out of the bitching about how bad the conditions are in our lives. We didn't get anything out of anything. And then we go to bed, and we have to take a sleeping pill because we are so upset because we didn't do anything, and so on. Or we have an argument with our spouse and blame them for why it is that we are so crazy. Yes, Michelle.
I believe what you're saying is true. If I do those things, then I will feel at peace with myself. I will feel better about myself. The one thing that is jumping out at me right now is that just today alone, I worked on cleaning up after myself. And I had appointments and scheduled things, and I made it to each one early, and that was great, and I feel wonderful. But the things that I did, I saw how much more there was to do. And to go back to my house and just clean a room, I feel I would need to take a week off, maybe a month, seriously. And my house isn't dirty, but, you know, just to really do it right, to do the dishes right, I have this feeling that it's going to take 6 hours. I'm exaggerating. Okay, maybe a half hour when I do dishes in 10 minutes and I'm not there. That if I was really there and having a good time, that it was going to take me maybe a half hour. Or to clean up after myself. Everything seems that it's going to be longer, and I'm wondering if I will get those scheduled things done that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't seem like there's
Yeah, it always seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whenever there is a new thing to be done, it seems absolutely impossible. It seems that it is beyond what you're capable of doing, and anyhow, it isn't worth it, because you can do it faster and better by being unconscious.
Not better. Maybe faster.
But yeah, but faster is better. Mm-hmm. You can zip through it. It's my experience that when I do things well, they disappear. So I don't carry them with me. Now, you may say that you zip through the dishes, and that clanking noise that follows you as you walk out of the kitchen are all those unfinished dishes. So it hampers your movements. It hampers your movements. It's like we talked about, from time to time in the experience, we talked about how many of us carry with us without noticing. Now, just the fact that we don't notice doesn't mean that they are not there. They are there the moment that we are reminded of them. I used to ask the participants, how many of you realize that you have incompletes in your life? That is, you did a project. You were going to build some shelves in the closet. And you had a design, and you knew how you wanted to get them finished, and you ran out of paint, or you ran out of varnish, or you broke one of the screws. Now, just in this little group of people here, how many of you, the moment that I talk about incompletes, can think of one or two or three, whether it was a sweater that you were knitting, or whether it was a tennis ball? Yeah. All right. Well, you think that they're... You see, we go around thinking, well, they're not there. And I ask you to think about, are there any... And immediately, there are a multitude of projects that you can think of that you didn't complete. Well, those are the things that clutter up our lives. And the clutter comes out in the form of frustration and anger. It's like when water has to go through an obstacle in a pipe, it hisses. Have you heard? Right? Well, that's the way that we are. That we are so cluttered up with incompletes that the force doesn't flow through us with ease. It's very painful. And we bitch and grumble and moan and get tired, and we can't concentrate, and we have to whiz through things and hurry here and there. And we think we get a lot done because we create a lot of smoke, dust. I can only invite you to experiment. See, life doesn't care. We are here. We have got 24 hours a day. And it's a lottery. We don't know how many days. We only have 24 hours a day, though. And that's for everybody. Now, how is it possible for some people to accomplish an incredible amount and some people not to be able to get anything done? Well, I think that it has to do with the clogging of the pipes. And the clutter we create is in the form of these incompletes. That they are incongruent to life. So they get stuck. And so when I ask you, I used to think, well, if I don't complete something, I'll just forget. No, I'm carrying it with me. I think of houses that I remodeled in San Francisco 25 years ago. I'm still carrying walls and plumbing, joints that weren't quite. There was just a little leak. I mean, it only dripped once every 30 seconds. Well, it's still dripping. You see, it doesn't disappear. So what I'm doing now, I work in the direction of not creating additional clutter. Why do you think that there are so many bypass surgery operations for cluttered valves? Well, it has to do with all those incompletes. I mean, we are tearing out these tubes and replacing them with plastic and doing everything we can to get the machinery to continue working. And then we go back and clutter it up some more. And don't understand why we get frustrated. Well, we get frustrated, it has to do with simple things. We think that it overly we have to save the world, never mind the dishes. But it begins with the dishes. If you don't do the dishes, we are never going to show anybody anything. We're not going to show anybody. We have to begin with ourselves.
Well, I've heard you talk about it a little bit before, but it seems apropos what you're talking about now. That perspective about why and who for whom are we doing those things? Approval seems, this audience thing seems like a big issue.
Let's talk about audience. If I do it for an audience, I'm there. If I'm there, I'm in the way. So I have to begin to practice being out of the way. It's true that all of us have been brought up to believe we are a show and we have to be approved of. We have to be okay. We were never brought up to live our lives for ourselves. That the question of quality had to do with the expression of life, that precious gift that we are each given, that we nurture that gift. We have been set up to perform. Be a nice girl so that they will think nicely of me as a father. Or be a nice boy. So we are conditioned continuously to be approved of by others. Where does that come from? Well, if I look at my own life, it comes from me not doing it in such a way that I feel okay about it. So what I have to do is to create a little theater so that you won't notice the things that are not okay and you will approve of me. And your approval will somehow make me a little more okay. So I can focus on that approval and not think about the way that I think about myself. I want to invite you to look at what would it be like if you began to live your life in alignment with the way that you want you to look at you when you look at you in the morning. Now, I like to be the kind of a person who cleans the dishes, including the pots. Never mind this about leaving one of the pots in the sink to soak. I mean, whoever have left pots in the sink to soak, it makes no difference. You always have to get back in there with your hand in that dirty, slimy stuff and scrub. Yeah, but later it's going to be better. I'm going to be more ready to do it later. Hell no. It's not true. So I learned to overcome that resistance that always comes up when the frying pan. And the frying pan is usually last, so I began to do it first. It's easy enough to do the glasses because there's not too much, you know. You wipe them, nobody can see it, you know. Anyhow, stick them in the dishwasher. But the pan has to be done with hand power. Never, I tried it, you know. It has scrub the pans cycle. Have you ever put your pans in a dishwasher with scrub the pan cycle? You put it in there and you start it and it goes through these rumbling noises. And then it comes out and it's baked on the pan now. Never mind, scrubbed off. If you look at yourselves, it is my opinion that we are all alike. And I know that you feel better about you, I mean, internally, secretly, if you do it and you leave the kitchen before you go into the living room and read a book or watch TV or whatever you do, or go to bed, you feel better, more complete about your day if your kitchen is spotless. You feel better. Try it. And then when you get up in the morning, have you ever gotten up in the morning, you had a party the night before, and everything is a total wreck? Now, do you feel inspired? No. No, you wish you had done it the night before so that you could get up in the morning and everything is spotless. Well, it is my opinion that if we do it and complete it, not for an audience, just because we want to be that kind of a person, so that we walk down the street, we are not carrying our dirty dishes with us. Not because somebody is going to see it. I mean, that may enter in to our unconscious state as well. No, I think that it has to do with you getting in touch with that sense of excellence that allows you to manifest yourself in a powerful way. In a powerful way means being totally relaxed and at ease so that the totality of the power in the universe is accessible to you. It's not accessible if you're carrying dishes around. If you want to be the kind of a person who can be at ease and always be ready, not immediately in a state of defense, but always be ready. You will manifest this quality that we can describe as personal power. It isn't personal in the sense of the ego. It is like that person has made it available for power to be manifested through her or him. Yes, Tom?
I'm having difficulty imagining not doing it for an audience. Even if I set a personal standard, for example, I say to myself, I'm going to clean my sink up to the standard that I have, okay, which is a high standard, okay? Aren't I still doing it for an audience, which would be some judgment that I have of what I feel good about?
It could be to begin with. It could be. And there will be a point when you do it just because you enjoy to do it that way. You just do it because you love to see the way that the sink sparkles when you're done. If you do not do it up to your standard, you will continuously be in conflict with yourself. Well, then there isn't any opportunity to work beyond yourself. You will still be struggling and battling with yourself. So, personal power, cleaning the path to allow power to manifest through us, is cleaning the path to the beginning of working on ourselves. The standards that all the people with wisdom have come up with, the standards are what clears the path to the beginning of consciousness. It isn't possible if you are in internal turmoil. It isn't. So if you have a standard that when you clean the sink, you also wipe it off and you wipe the faucet so that it is the way that it was when you first saw it. If that is your standard, stay with it. And your life will be cleaner, but you will feel brighter. And that causes you to have an opportunity to begin to look beyond. We are conditioned to slavery. Not perhaps intentionally. Not perhaps. And then there are some smart people who realize, aha, if I do it this way, I'm going to be a slave. There must be another way so I can become free. And then they have instructed generations after generations, including ours. There is a possibility to be free. In order to be free, I must absolutely be congruent. So if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it just because I said I was going to do it, and I'm going to do it up to the standard of excellence that I have evolved to perceive. So if it has to do with doing the dishes, well, I know the way that I ideally would like it to be, if it was done just the way that I'd like it to be, so I will now do it. And I get to struggle with my ego. My ego says, it's not necessary. It can wait. I'll soak it. Or I'll push it aside. I throw something in the garbage and it misses the can and it falls behind the can. Well, nobody can tell. Nobody can tell. The house that I moved into, they had a compactor. One of these machines that make an incredible noise. They don't do anything particularly. And it gets everything squashed into a sordid mess. The way that that compactor was constructed was that the mess would ooze through the crack and deposit itself behind. And there was this remarkable odor in the kitchen, which I'm sure, had I lived there for a while, I would have gotten used to. Well, I was new to the odor, and it struck me as being strange. Well, I used a compactor once, and I heard this noise over the crashing of cans and bottles, some noise. And I wonder, what is that? Where is that going? So I had Somebody take the compactor out, and sure enough, there it all was, in a big pile behind. Well, this is what we do in life. They knew, too, but they didn't want to bother. So they sold the house. Just like you do. It has to do with becoming free. See, you're not free when you're writing checks and you don't really know what the balance is. Oh, but it's only off $3 or $4. Yeah, but you don't know. So you put yourself in this state of not knowing, which creates tension, which creates a dialogue with yourself. And you're in bondage. It's the same bondage that you're in your jobs, that the boss says that you're supposed to do it for this reason. No, you're supposed to do it because you said that you were going to do it. Now it's up to me and you. Are you willing to do it with excellence so that you can be free? Yes, Marcia.
That sounds great, to do it because of that, because I want to do it because I said I was going to. Is it okay to do it because I have a reason to do it so that I can get to where I'm doing it and then say, well, now I'm going to do it because I want to?
Everything is okay. Everything is. And if you want to be a free person, there are certain guidelines. I do it just because I want to do it. And I'm going to do it excellently. Like when I do the experience, I don't care whether there are 17 people in the experience or 75 people in the experience. I am going to do it the best I possibly can so that when I have completed the experience, I have done it, I've given it the best that I could, and I can now wash my hands and concentrate on what is next. It's complete. Now, it also so happens when I do the very best that I can, and I'm focused on doing it the very best that I can, that my boss or the participants or the people that I touched in the process of doing it, they will also benefit. But the reason I do it is not out there. The reason is in here, that I do it so that I am complete. So if you get hired because you need to make money. You get hired and you want to please your boss. Now, the reason that you might want to please your boss is because that will give you more money. And all of these calculations will go on. No doubt about it. They will go on. Now, the next thing is, those were all the reasons that you had. Now, you're choosing to do the job just because you're choosing to do the job. And because you want to live your life with excellence, you do it with excellence so that you are congruent with who you are. Now, if you're focusing on your boss, one day you're not going to like your boss, so then you're not going to do your job as a way of getting at your boss. But how does that make you feel? Never mind the boss. It's not going to make you feel good that the boss is hurting, really. Oh, yeah, it may momentarily give you some sense of satisfaction that you did him or her in. It's possible. What you also did was that you were out of congruency with yourself. If you have chosen to live your life congruently. Mind you, most of you have not chosen to do your life congruently with excellence. You have not. You are much more interested in being comfortable. You're much more interested in getting by, which looks a lot like dogs. They just want to get by. And all they have to do is to wag their tail a little. And if you have seen dogs, we say the dogs are very conscious. Yeah, they wag their tail at the ones who give them food. Yeah, well, they're smart enough to do that. That take a whole lot of smarts. That's what a lot of people do with their bosses. They don't care about their bosses, but they wag their tail because that's where they get the bones from. Yes, Tom?
It would seem that it might be smart to look somewhere for a standard which would be higher than my own standard to speed up the process.
I beg to differ. I think that it would be smart that you live congruently with your standard first. Now, if you can establish that congruency, the next standard will emerge very clearly. Don't Don't try and strive for a higher standard when you're not even living up to the standard that you already have, however low that may be.
I was hoping to jump over that mess. So the standard will, an improved standard, or there will always, what you're saying is then only that when I do it or begin to do it, I will see how I'm not doing it at the next level, so to speak?
No, there will be ways in which you will recognize that it can be done simpler and simpler and simpler. So in the end, it'll be real simple. If you have noticed the people who emerge as the leaders with wisdom, that their lives are very simple.
Yes.
Now, many of those people have the ability to have all the things in the world. But they renounce them. They're not interested. They clutter up the space. Don't go for that, though. Go for congruency within the standard that you do have so that you can get familiar with what your standards are. So that you do it up to the standard that you do have. That will give you clarity to see. Now, is that really what I conceive of to be excellence? You will be able to answer the question for yourself once you live congruently. See, all of us have within us a standard. And if we will only live up to that standard, we will be at peace. And when you and I are at peace, we will see the next mountain to climb.
It seems as if my life is so complicated.
Precisely. And the complication we create so that we won't have to see that we live incongruently, that we live in violation of our own standards. We say, well, I don't have time to do the dishes. Well, take time. I know that when I do it, the way that it is in alignment with me, not for purposes of an audience, that it is okay with me that everybody sees it when I do it congruently with me. If I do it incongruently with me, I can say and look you straight in the eyes and say, it's okay with me, because we are totally capable of lying even with our eyes open. If I at the same time secretly know, well, it wouldn't be okay with me if somebody else saw it, then it really isn't okay with me. So do it in such a way that it is all right for the whole world to pass through your bedroom to see the way that you make your bed. When you experience that to be so, then it's you're at peace.
Right. Already make my bed and do the dishes, and I can't understand people that don't make their bed and leave dishes in the sink. I can't understand that. And I was always, like my friends, I always thought that I was really uptight because I couldn't leave till the dishes were done. And so it seems like, okay, fine, that's my standard, and I do that. So then when you mentioned the checkbook, I kind of freaked out because I don't balance my checkbook. So for me, I have to balance my checkbook because I already make my bed and do the dishes. And it seems like I'll never get out from, once I learn to balance my checkbook, will it be that I don't clean my car all the way? Will
That's
it be
correct.
That I don't, when
That's
do I
correct.
Get out? When do I get out? And then when
get
do I
get out where?
I don't know, out and do the great things in the world that I want to do. I mean, I feel like I'm going to be tied to...
You may be. You may be. You
so
may
is
never
the inconsistency
get,
the fact
you may never
that,
get beyond...
Is the inconsistency here the fact that, you know, it's the people who don't get out but who do everything to their standards? Are they what's great in the world? And the people
I don't
who
know.
We
Let's
see,
not worry about that, Kate. Let's not worry about that. Let's just look at the way we do it. Because I think that we are a fairly... average representation of what the world is like. The world is not working. What we're talking about is there some way in which we can make this little evening into something that can inspire people to begin to work in the direction of being the kind of energy that can begin to make a contribution to making the world work? You cannot make the world work if your checkbook is in shambles, your personal life is in shambles, your personal hygiene is out the window, then how are you going to go and talk about cleaning up the world if your own life is in a mess? From what level of experience do you come from?
I have a question about the difference between an audience and people who you need support from. Because when I do something good, I want to support my friends in doing it too, but then I always end up telling them that I did it. So then now I'm thinking, well, gosh, it's just because I needed an audience. Or if I didn't get one at home, I had to go out and grab one, you know, to say, hey, you know what I did today? So where does, you know?
It feels good. It feels good to be stroked. That's all right. And you're also now talking about what would it be like if I did that for 5 years? Don't worry about what it is going to be like. In the beginning, you might go and say, I did my bed this morning. Great. Well, you say that for a while, and then after a while, you know, people are going to say, oh, yeah, all right, well, you did it yesterday, too, and we're kind of tired of you. And you just keep on doing it. You just keep on doing it. And little by little, you forget the audience. When you are doing it, just do it. When I do the dishes, I do the dishes. Now, people say, oh, don't do the dishes. They don't understand that I really like to do the dishes. It's also okay with me not to do the dishes, and I like to do the dishes. And I do it just because I like to do it. It gives me a moment where the world gets very simple. There is another plate. I have to maneuver the plate past the faucet into the sink, wash it, make sure it doesn't slip out of my hand, and then stick it down in the dishwasher. It's very simple. No, it took me a long time to realize that it all has to do with congruency about me. It is me being at peace with me, so that when I can be with you, I'm not carrying a lot of baggage with me. I'm not carrying a lot of considerations that you're going to find out this or that or whatever. I don't carry that around. Now, if you're afraid to be found out, well, do it in such a way that it is okay to be found out. Now, you're not doing it for an audience, and you can use, if an audience has a certain power over you, you can use it. Use it as a motivator. I use audience all the time as a motivator. See, I'm always in front of an audience, and I live in a house where I'm always on stage. Like, they see everything. So I have to do it in such a way in my house, in every aspect of my life, so that it is okay that people see that that's the way that I do it. Well, that assists me to push towards excellence. Do I fall short? Absolutely. Absolutely. The whole purpose of becoming more conscious is that you and I feel better. The purpose is that we feel more at peace. This about being focused, it's like when I am free, I can at any moment in time focus my energy on whatever it is that is up next as a possibility in my life. It could be my job. It could be being with my spouse or with my children. It could be with cooking the next meal. Those simple tasks in our lives, it's like we think, well, we have done them 338 times. Come on, it's enough already. I would like to invite people to not eat when they don't feel like doing it with excellence. That would be a very good way of monitoring life. It would be like, well, I'm tired of breathing. I don't know how many breaths we take a year, but it must run into the thousands and thousands. And we can say, well, I am tired of breathing. Well, good. Stop. And very quickly it will become apparent that there is a certain urgency about having the next breath. There is that urgency about living life with excellence. If you want to live your life being at peace, being at one with yourself, so that there's a tremendous payoff, and to unlearn our unfortunate habits will take, for most people, a lot of time. The reason, perhaps, if we can call it that, that children are so eager and spend so much of their times, even in the most adverse conditions, like being our children, they display a resilience that they can be happily chatting away. There we are arguing with one another, and the tension is going, and they're saying, Papa, 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 oblivious to it. They're focused, and they spend a lot of time being happy. We spend a lot of time, an extraordinary amount of time, being very far removed from anything that resembles being happy. How come? We are not at peace. We clutter our lives with incompletes, which we then lie about. We distort. We create smoke. We think that we can, like, turn away from it, very much like this speaker that we listened to yesterday who said, remember if you put your head in the ground, what's showing? And we can't understand why people are looking at us funny. But if we thought for a moment of what it is that we are showing, maybe we would understand. So the consequence of beginning will be noticeable in the quality of life. The quality of life, what we talk about when we talk about the quality of life that we are striving towards, it has to do with oneness, being congruent with ourselves. The moment that I'm congruent with myself, it is like I disappear. I don't have to prove anything. Most of the time, we have to prove something in order to cover our tracks. Now, if we don't leave any tracks, there isn't anything to prove. And then we have the opportunity to be with one another. What has happened in our lives mostly is we don't do it in our lives up to the standard that we would like to do it. We know that we have ideals that we would like to live up to, and for some reasons, we don't need to go into the reasons why we don't. We all know that, laziness and so on. We don't do it, and we don't feel good about ourselves. So we come from the way we look at the world is from this broken lens. So what do we pick up? Well, we pick up the issues that are going on secretly in our lives, secretly even to ourselves. And the way it looks is that we begin to bitch at each other. We complain. We complain about the way that things, people are being devious. We complain about how our spouse is being sloppy. We complain about how the people around us show no enthusiasm, no excitement, no life, no joy. They're not inspiring to be around. I mean, we sit there like some clod waiting for the world to make us happy. But I don't believe that it is that way. I think that the world is really joyous. And it only comes from me cleaning my glasses. Now, how do I clean my glasses? I hate to say it again. We clean up our lives. And remarkably, miraculously, our jobs will seem easier. Our relationships will flow more gently. Our ability to be with our children is tremendously enhanced. We are not feeling so pressured about all the things that we have not done. So we can just be there. So the purpose is for us to enhance the quality of our lives so that we can become what we really are, which is joyful human beings celebrating the gift of life.
By that interpretation, is it appropriate to say that we start to fall in love with ourselves again?
Yeah, it is like we fall in love with ourselves. But it's not like we fall in love with ourselves. This is the way we think now. We created a self. And the self was created by all those incompletes. There wasn't anything there before. Children, they don't think about themselves like the way we think about ourselves. Children are there in the event, creating. But it's not like they are there as a personality, person, ego, the way we are. They're not. And they're not like in love with themselves the way we think about being in love with ourselves. The self is not there. It is getting away from the self so that love will manifest itself naturally because it is always there. See, we didn't advance from childhood so that now we are happier than we were as children. No, we got clogged up in having to perform and having to be okay. We lost the ability to just be. And the self is not there in the sense that we now, as we sit here talking, it's not there. And the moment that the self is not there, you will experience that which you call being in love with yourself. But it's just that the self is not there. It is just love being.
Is that what happens to people when they do the experience, that they get in touch with that power, like they tap into that power and just being?
Yes, they get in touch with the okayness to just be just the way that they are and the way that they are not. And the moment that they get in touch with that, it is like a big burden is dropped from their shoulders and they feel light. And what I recommend, have recommended tonight, is that you begin to move back in time towards that state of being by doing the dishes.
ISA would like to thank Ole and the ISA graduates who made this series possible. Please be reminded that reproduction of these programs in any manner without authorization is unlawful. Thank you for listening.